The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today my guests on Off the Shelf are Casey Kelly, Program Director for the Alliant 2 Procurement Program, John Cavadillas, he is the Contracting Officer for Alliant 2, and Richard Blake, he is the Senior Technologist for the Alliant 2 Procurement Program. And gentlemen, welcome to the show today.
Good morning.
Thanks, Roger.
Good morning. Thank you, Roger.
Well, I'm looking forward to this conversation. It's always fun, and it's always very interesting when I talk to you guys about this procurement and about the Alliant program in general. And we're going to talk a lot about Alliant 2 and you know where that's going and what's going on with it for the listening audience. But I think you know where it's going, we need to talk about where it's been, right, in terms of what the current Alliant contract and its role as like the leading GWAC in government contracting for information technology. And just some history around that a little bit and where it is in terms of your customers and usage and that sort of thing. So, Casey, can you sort of set the stage and talk a little bit about the current Alliant program and where it is? And there's Alliant Small Business as well. There's two contract vehicles.
Sure. Thank you, Roger. So, first again, thank you for having us here on your show. This is a pleasure for us. So, Alliant, the current Alliant and Alliant Small Business GWACs, the two flagship GWACs for GSA, they're currently in contract year 7. And they've been very successful through those 7 years. We've just passed the $30 billion mark.
Oh, congratulations.
In terms of dollars awarded against these two contracts combined.
So, is the ceiling's $50 billion, is it?
The ceiling is $50 for Alliant and $15 billion for Alliant Small Business.
Okay, that's excellent.
So $30 billion, that includes all options that have been exercised on all task orders. But we're proud of that. $30 billion, I think that demonstrates, that's a contract vehicle that's attractive to our agencies that are using it. 62 separate different agencies have used the two contracts combined. About 1,000 task orders have been awarded against it. We're very pleased with results to date. Which is your audience may not be aware, there's only been one sustained protest during that time.
Oh, wow.
Of over almost 1,000 task orders. So we're proud
That's
of that.
That's a great track record.
We're proud of that, too. The percentage rate in terms of protest against these two contracts is also extremely low. It's less than 5%. And we think a big part of that is because of the communication, the relationships that we have, not just with our customers, but with our industry partners. So we're about to, we got 3 years left. We're in the planning phases for Alliant 2, Alliant 2 Small Business, but we're very proud of what we've accomplished to date on Alliant Small Business. We want to continue moving forward with that same track record.
Yeah. And with regard to Alliant, how does that work when do the customer agencies get trained on how to place orders under your contract? Is that part of the sort of, procurement, the delegation process for use of that one?
Yes. So the way it works is a contracting officer within the federal government to issue a task order against any of our GWACs, they need to have a formal delegation of procurement authority. And the way to get that, it's a simple training process. We do it in person. We do it online. A variety of different ways. It takes about an hour, less than an hour. But it's basically us helping to provide them how best to use the contract vehicle, make sure it's used appropriately, us not really telling a contracting officer how to do their job, but more importantly, start the relationship building process to help them use this as a resource to execute their mission to award IT services for their agency.
All right. And the purchases, the pattern of purchases under the current Alliant Small Business and Alliant contract, are these solution sets for like networks? What is being purchased off the contract? It's not just hardware or just software. You're talking integrated, complex IT solutions.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really important. It's an IT services contract vehicle. So, you know, hardware can be acquired off the vehicle, but typically, if that's the primary purpose of the requirement, this isn't the real vehicle for that. A Schedule 70 would be more appropriate within GSA's portfolio. But for IT services, anywhere from cyber, help desk support, virtualization.
Cloud data migration.
Yeah. So we're, you know, what we like about the vehicle, what's made it so attractive is its broad scope. It's aligned to federal enterprise architecture, so anything for IT services can be, these contracts can be used for.
Right. And Richard, I imagine that the cyber component of it is something, and you mentioned cloud as well, so it's clear this is like it's a broad scope and the sort of evolutionary nature, able to take advantage of new technologies because of that, the way the contract is written is one of the strengths.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the great things about Alliant 1 and will continue in Alliant 2 is the alignment to scope to federal enterprise architecture. So while cyber was important and cloud was thought of at the original onset of the Alliant 1 contract, it wasn't as top of mind as it is today. But the contract has evolved automatically. No technical refresh required. Simply becomes a matter of education, letting the customers know that we can do that under Alliant. And we've seen some great activity. So we're proud of that as well.
Right. So it's a great foundation for Alliant 2. And we can, let's start talking a little bit about Alliant 2. But sure. But in looking at the current Alliant contract, I guess the way to start segueing to that is, like, what are some of the strengths of the current Alliant contract that you obviously are trying to make sure you maintain in, you know, the Alliant follow-on, Alliant 2?
Yeah, so the strengths, you know, the broad scope is a huge asset of the vehicle itself. We don't have any functional areas, any pulls. We allow the flexibility of the agency for their IT services to map and fit what they need to this contract vehicle with the alignment to federal enterprise architecture. So it's comprehensiveness in terms of scope, it's flexibility and how it can be used, the fact that all types of contract vehicles can be awarded against it.
So cost reimbursement,
materials, fixed price. Those are all, I think those are the foundations of what makes it so attractive. And then we try to add to that, I call them value adds. We support our customers if they want to send to us a performance work statement, if they're considering using this contract vehicle, we could turn that out around really quickly within a day. We have our team, such as Richard and our contracting officers, review that, get back to them, maybe suggest and share other agencies that have had similar types of requirements, how they've used Alliant. They really enjoy that and take advantage of that. We provide sample templates, acquisition templates, statements of work. There's a lot of value adds to this contract, and we're continuing to look to explore those to make it attractive as a benefit for our customers to use.
And just last question on that. And how many contractors are on the two vehicles right now, the current vehicles?
So under Alliant, there's 58.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Under Alliant Small Business, originally 73. I think that's down to 60 now, approximately. Okay. 13, I believe, have graduated.
Oh, have been successful. Correct. In growing out of the size status, right?
Correct. Okay.
Probably largely due to Alliant, or do you think? Or
what? Oh, without question, yeah. Roger. Yeah. It's
Well, that's a sign of success right there as well.
Yeah, I agree.
So, okay, so Alliant 2. When did you sort of kick off the acquisition planning for this? I know this, you know, people, one thing I don't think people understand for a contract vehicle like this, this is a sustained sort of long-term effort to get an acquisition plan in place, your strategy, draft RFP, and all that stuff. So when did you really start thinking internally about it? And John, I'll ask you that question.
Absolutely. January 2nd, 2011, when Casey Kelly had recruited me on with Paul Martin, the chief of contract.
Okay.
So that's actually when we started thinking about it, and I was brought on from Department of Defense to specifically create this contract. So little did I know I wouldn't get right into the procurement. I had to do the contract administration.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Original Alliant for 3 years.
Uh-huh.
To find out what works and what doesn't work and how we could improve upon the next GWAC vehicle. So that in itself gave me a foundation as to how to create both the solicitation and the contract. So that was a good education longer than I wanted.
Right.
But it was very exciting to start. I started right after I completed the option exercise on Alliant One, which was in May of 2014. So I've been on the team that long.
Okay. Wow. That's great. Hey guys, right now we do have to take our first break. When we come back, I do have one last question. And it goes to sort of the MythBusters comment. As I know, the current contract has a SIG, and you can explain a little bit of what that is. I'm just going to leave it like that for our listening audience. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about that, and we'll get into more about the Alliant 2 procurement. My guests today are Casey Kelly, the program director, John Cavadillas, the contracting officer, and Richard Blake, the senior technologist for the Alliant 2 procurement program. And you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guests are Casey Kelly, Program Director, John Cavadillas, Contracting Officer, and Richard Blake, Senior Technologist for the Alliant 2 Procurement Program. And Casey, when we took the break, I mentioned the SIG with regard to the current Alliant program. And I left it at that because I wanted to keep the audience in suspense. Not really, but what is the SIG? Can you...
Sure. So SIG stands for Shared Interest Group. We basically stole a page out of the playbook from the IAC organization that's been around for a very long time. What we really liked about what their SIGs did within that organization is how they leveraged the collaboration and the transparency between government and industry, working together to try and solve IT solutions. So we basically took that same playbook, from them.
Sure. Sure.
And said, let's apply this. How can we apply this to Alliant to continue working with our industry partners, our 58 primes and Alliant, and with our customers to continue improving the contract vehicle, adding value to that. So Richard was very involved with this early on. We developed a charter, and we basically said, this is your organization. You elect members. We're your guest on this. You make it what you want. And They have annual elections. They elect board members from the 58 primes, and they have representatives program, contract, and business development, and they work on different initiatives on how we can improve the contract, keep it robust, and that's what it is.
Yeah,
it's grown a life of its own. We stood it up in an effort to reach out and collaborate a little bit, have an open exchange with a select group of people. And the SIG has divided into subgroups to help us with market research, to help us understand our customer, what the needs are, what's working, what's not working. We can virtually ask, and they deserve a huge shout out, all the industry partners who participate. Small business has a very similar component. Obviously, there's a few more contractors. They're a bit more difficult to manage, but it's been a great experience.
Yeah, in a contract, right, John, sort of in a contract context, it's a contract, for lack of a better term, and I'm putting my lawyer hat on. It's like it's a contract administrative forum with all the contractors just sitting there. It's like a MythBusters ongoing, forum, sort of, to a certain extent, that's really focusing on operational issues with the contract. Does that make sense?
It does, and what we're doing is we're taking the philosophy of continuously improving upon the process that we started out with. We get to hear what the industry partners don't like, what they think we should look into, what they think we should improve upon, and many times we actually made changes throughout the contract period on the first Alliant.
Right.
But it's been very helpful to us to keep. To keep ourselves in front of industry.
Right. And then I assume you do this, you do similar sort of outreach you have done to the customer agencies and that sort of thing as well, right, throughout the life of the contract.
Oh, without question, Roger. So within GSA, there's the Assisted Acquisition Services Organization, who is a big user of the Alliant Small Business GWACs. So we've had many of our, I call them outreach events, program management review meetings, in the various regions throughout the country, Boston, Philadelphia, Atlanta, where we would invite them along with our industry primes to discuss and collaborate and talk, ideas. And we'll also extend that same olive branch out to our customers that use the contract directly, Army, Air Force, Navy, DHS to come participate in some of those exchanges as well.
Right. So it's your bridge between your customer, you know, your customers and your contractors, pulling them together to.
Correct. Right, so right. We're like, right. We're the conduit, yeah, you know, right, yeah, that's absolutely. Our goal, yeah. To kind of bring the them
value
together.
Value-added service, shared, a shared services model too. So, John, now let's get back to Alliant 2. So, 2014, the option is exercised for the Alliant program. You, I guess, even more formally started looking at what you're going to put together, a draft RFP, how you're going to do outreach and that sort of thing. Can you talk a little bit about the thinking at that time and a little bit about you know, where you wanted to take it in terms of the communication?
Well, I'd love to talk about that. Thank you. The first thing I did was I stepped into a conference room and I learned that Richard and Casey and other folks on the acquisition team started working on pricing issues and developing a standardized IT labor category based upon Department of Labor. I won't speak specifically on that because I start to fall asleep. And we
don't want that.
No. So being who I am, I wanted to really get out there. So we established an acquisition team, a joint acquisition team, with our San Diego office, who would be responsible for the unrestricted procurement, and in Kansas City, Region 6 GSA, the small business set aside would be procured. And my colleague Greg Bird, who's the contracting officer for Alliant 2. Out there. Both of us got together in Kansas City in June of 2014. We had a 3-day meeting and we started to get our thoughts together on developing the solicitation and contract. From there, we headed off to, in August, we headed off to Fort Worth, Texas, a great town, and met up with the creators of OASIS. And we spent a few days with them. And we listened to their experiences of putting this thing together. We listened to the type of protests that they received. We were all very cautious, especially us conservative contracting folks, about adopting this OASIS.
Now you mean conservative contract? That's kind of redundant there, isn't it? Yeah. Is that right? No, just kidding, John. Just kidding.
It is. You know, we're often asked to be creative contracting officers, and I say, well, creativity in contracting might mean some jail time. So anyway, we learned a great deal about OASIS, and we took what we thought would work, and we left out what we thought would not. The most impressive part of the procurement was the ability to use an objective method, a procurement method coined as technically highest technically qualified with a fair and reasonable pricing. This is an IDIQ contract. It's almost impossible to find a good reason to make judgment as to rate pricing, because there is no requirement on anyone's table out there. So we came up with a method emulating OASIS that would be more fair and more objective. So we look for certain attributes in a potential offerer. We rate those. And we provide a range of what we consider fair and reasonable pricing for labor hour rates, and that's it. It's a simple process, although it's been a very complex journey to get to this point where we are right now in the second draft.
All right. So, and from an OASIS perspective, what was? Do you think, I mean, is that the biggest lesson learned that came out of it, the issue of the evaluation of price, that, to your point, and I happen to agree with you, the pricing at the contract level for multiple award contracts, where there's further competition downstream at the task order level, is, you know, the focus should be how to get to the point to get to have those competitions, and that issue of pricing you know, makes a lot of sense. Was that the biggest lesson learned you got out of it?
Absolutely. It was. And us contracting folks were watching the progression of the protest. I don't remember how many of them there were, but it appeared that between the GAO and the Court of Federal Claims, they did acknowledge the procurement method used and as legitimate. So we went ahead and adopted that part of the OASIS.
Right, right. Yeah, it's and it's interesting that you would do you got that, but you're also not doing the pools of the way OASIS is.
Right. I'm sorry, I can just jump in. So originally that was, oh, so why don't you have pools, functional areas?
Right, right.
No, we wanted to sustain some of the best practices of Alliant.
Right.
And that broad scope that allowing that flexibility versus pigeonholing, cloud, cyber into specific areas.
Right.
It didn't make sense, Roger. So we really wanted to leverage, that highest technically rated fair and reasonable pricing approach that they did, and then build upon that, which John and Greg Bird, the contracting officer.
It's such an, technology is so integrated, right? It's
correct.
Really hard to like parse it like that. I think those professional services is a little different, but to your point, it's like you start pulling things apart and it makes it harder to get that total solution that you want.
Correct.
Right? Geez, we're already up on the break, guys. So when we come back, we'll talk to Casey, John, and Richard about their outreach with the private sector and with their customers. I know they did a lot of work internally, too, talking to customers about what they were looking for in the next round of Alliant. Because once again, and I haven't mentioned it yet, but the Coalition for Government Procurement honored the Alliant team with Mythbusters Excellence in Partnership honor this past week, or last week actually, at the Coalition Conference for their outreach and their track record and outreach and engagement with industry. So you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today my guests are Casey Kelly, John Cavadillas, and Richard Blake, the Alliant 2 Procurement guys. How's that? It's a little different, huh? Yeah. For this introduction this time. No. John is a contracting officer, Casey's a program manager, and Richard is a senior technologist for the Alliant 2 Procurement Program. And as I mentioned at the close of the last break, the Alliant 2 Unrestricted and Alliant 2 Small Business Teams last week received an Excellence in Partnership award from the Coalition for Government Procurement for their outreach to the procurement community, and particularly industry, and a Mythbusters dialogue on the acquisition strategy, their approach, what the RFP would look like, what the program would look like in the future, just proactively building on that communication to get, what we all want as for the American people, for the taxpayer, and for customer agencies, best value, mission support, and sound outcomes in support of those missions. So, guys, just that's a big introduction. Congratulations on your
thank
award.
Thank you. We're very, very, very flattered. Thank you, Roger.
Yes. Richard asked for applause. I don't have an applause button, Richard. Sorry. I will get one added for the show. Okay.
Please,
maybe I can have the guy edit it in. Have our editor edit in some
excited.
Applause for you. I don't know. Can you talk? And I think that's so important to share. Your story about the outreach that you've done to date on this procurement. So I'm just going to turn it over to you and guys talk about what you did, how you did it, some of the things, and what you got out of it. Because I know, and I think fundamentally too, you guys were very proactive, not just reaching out to industry, but reaching out internally to your customers, working with stakeholders across the community. So I'll turn it over to you. Go ahead.
So the first thing we did after we returned back to San Diego and Kansas City, respectively, is we put some pen to paper, and Casey said, why don't we go out there now? So just a few weeks later, we had our very first industry day, and not that we were really prepared as a contracting officer wants to be.
Sure, sure.
But we went ahead and arranged our first industry day with the Coalition for Government, with for government procurement with you, Roger. And you arranged for two sessions, one for unrestricted and one for small business set aside, a morning and an afternoon session.
Right. And we opened it up to anybody who wanted to come.
Correct.
Who wanted to come to those meetings.
Yeah. That. And thank you again, Roger. So that was I was very sensitive there because we really wanted to be, remain neutral in there. And, so the Coalition for Federal Procurement, which you're the leader of, and is such a strong organization, you had the foundation as a conduit for us to get our communication to the to all of industry. And so I asked you if we could leverage you and we can make this open to all industry members, whether or not they're members. And you said, absolutely. So we had that first kickoff industry day, two separate sessions, one for the Alliant 2 Unrestricted, one for the Alliant 2 Small Business. And, man, it was well attended. It was a firestorm, everybody.
Yeah,
it was a lot of, resistance, just a lot of just questions, a lot of interest, I think, because of what they saw with the success of Alliant Small Business. But as John said, that kind of set the tone for us moving forward. And so from there, I can't remember the timing exactly, we then established monthly industry days through that same conduit, through the Coalition, Roger's organization, open to all, where we'd have 500-plus industry members, large and small.
Right, those virtual industry days.
Virtual industry days. Asking us questions. We established a customer working group team with about 40 agency representatives that have used Alliant and Alliant Small Business to get, to not operate in a vacuum, to get input and feedback of what their thoughts were as we continue doing market research, developing the draft RFP.
We also visited, that same week that we visited the Coalition, we also visited customers. We were at the State Department and face-to-face with them. So we actually did this at the same time because, of course, agencies are our customer, and without the agencies, we have nothing.
Right.
So while
all
that's going on, so there's been, I think, a total of seven formal requests for information that John and Greg have issued to through federal business opportunities through this progression to where we've gotten to today. But that's been a key theme all this time that we really are proud of to have received that award, the Myth-Busting Award, because what we're trying to accomplish here is build upon the best practices, what we think is a good contract vehicle, Alliant Small Business, but leverage and lean upon industry, leverage and lean upon our customers and see what can we do to improve it? Where can we make it better? And we think it's been very successful to date.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it really involved, as John said at the onset, we were really not prepared. We were about half-baked on our ideas and what we thought. We had the benefit of the history of Alliant One, and we were trying to build upon that, understand where we had difficulties, and we had our own ideas. By immediately reaching out, I think that everyone who's participated in this contract through the virtual user groups, through the sessions and the outreach that we've held, will see their fingerprint. If you simply compare where we were when we first met with you back then,
right,
to where we are now on the second draft RFP,
it's
night and day. And all of that is because of that outreach and that continued market research that we've been able to do through the cooperation of industry and our customers.
Right. And I have to tell you, the virtual industry days is something that was sort of new to me as well. And I thought it worked very well. And there were 500 people on that phone, because it was open to, basically it was open to the public.
Right? Party line.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It was new to us too, Roger. And I think I mentioned from the podium at the night of the award, when Casey came up with the idea, as a technologist, I looked at him and said, this isn't going to work.
Right.
But it did. It worked just great.
Yeah. So then you've issued this. You have right now on the street, there's the second draft RFP. What is the due date for comments on that?
November 30th.
Okay. And this is, I guess, an update with some additional input from the first draft RFP. When was that originally issued?
March
31st, right. And that was kind of unique, too, in a sense, right? Didn't you have basically a continuing open season to submit comments, right? You didn't have a firm deadline.
No. We
how did that work for you?
It was great. We got a couple of thousand comments via email. From there, we held one-on-one face-to-face sessions for 30 minutes. We registered over 300 companies. About 200 or so attended between Kansas City and San Diego. We were very, very surprised because originally we were going to go to Washington, and we weren't able to do that because of the no resources. And we were just overwhelmed with the amount of interest. From the one-on-ones, 1 month of each office sitting for 1 month listening to companies one after another, we gained a number of golden nuggets from that and incorporated that that feedback into the following draft.
Right. I got a question for you. In that context, too, you know, you often talk to companies about from your perspective, when a company comes in to talk to you, what are you looking to hear? I mean, it's not the sales pitch, isn't what you're really, what are you looking for? Like a really thoughtful, obviously, conversation about what the procurement is?
That was what we were looking for. I would say about 30-40% of the companies gave us their sales pitch. Originally, we were stopping them, but we thought it's your 30 minutes. You can ask us anything you want. We're open.
Right.
The greatest concern was the solicitation portion of the draft. How do I get onto the contract?
Right.
We allowed the potential offerers to speak about anything they wanted to speak about, even if it was about their mother that they were visiting in San Diego, and we had one of those too.
Okay.
I would say what we were. There were also some new things we were doing in Alliant too, or considering, given the input that we had. We were trying to move the needle in several new areas.
Sure.
We didn't know how that would be accepted or if even we were on the right track. So before we went to our customers, we wanted to hear what industry had to say. So it was an affirmation for us that we either had it or we didn't. We made changes where we didn't. And then we went to our customers to let them know this is where we were. This is where we think we're going. What do you think? Received their thumbs up. And that's just been the iterative process of this entire contract.
Sure. Yeah, and right now we're already up on the break. So, guys, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the outreach, but also talk about moving the needle and some of the key features of what you're looking at in the final RFP to a certain extent. Again, the comments are due right November 30th on the current draft RFP.
Correct.
And I can tell you the there's universal praise out there for issuing the second draft RFP, again, demonstrating that engagement with industry and all your stakeholders, because not just industry looks at it, right? The customer agencies look at it as well. So we'll be back in a moment. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guests are Casey Kelly, Program Director, John Cavadillas, a Contracting Officer, and Richard Blake, the Senior Technologist for the Alliant 2 Procurement Program. And there's two procurements there, right? There's Alliant Unrestricted and Alliant 2 Unrestricted and Alliant 2 Small Business. So there'll be a set aside again. And it's going to be a 10-year contract. Is that right again?
Yes, a 5 basic years, multi-year, and a 5-year option.
Okay. And have you figured out a ceiling yet, or is that something still under discussion?
Yes, the ceiling for unrestricted right now is $50 billion, and the ceiling for the small business set-aside is $15
billion. Okay, excellent. And you've done 30 on the current Alliant. You're already up to, as we talked about in the first segment. It's already
combined.
Yeah, combined for the two of them, right?
Correct, through approximately 7.5 years.
Okay. That's a good track record, it's interesting too. Is like I was at GSA when the first Alliant was being planned and stuff, and I remember all that what should the ceiling be, what shouldn't it be, and all that. And it's good to see that you got 3 years left basically for additional purchases, and there will be a transition too, right, to the new one. So with regard to the current procurement, Richard, wanted to ask you a little bit about the technologies. Like, it's a 10-year contract, so obviously cloud wasn't 10 years ago. Clouds were just in the sky. From my perspective, I'm not a technologist, but clouds. I know people were talking about the concept, but not me. This is going to be an evolving contract, and I know there's a lot of emphasis in it or conversation around innovative technologies and what those are or aren't, and just you want to have that flexibility. Can talk a bit about what the what the current draft entails and what you're looking to accomplish in that area?
Sure. So first of all, starting with scope, the one thing we did not want to change about Alliant One was the IT anything anywhere full and comprehensive scope that FEA affords you. So we had to keep that. Fortunately, they adjusted FEA to where it's a bit easier to understand with the latest edit, and they've added some reference models that make it a lot easier.
Can you tell
to understand.
People what FEA?
I'm sorry, yeah, Federal Enterprise Architecture. So yeah. Basically, our statement on that is if you have a business imperative and it can be met by information technology, it's within the scope of Alliant. So we wanted to keep that, but we also wanted to send the message that the offerers on Alliant 2 needed to have their finger on the pulse of what's happening out there and all the things that have developed. As you said, cyber was important, but it was nowhere near as important as it is today. Cloud was discussed, but it was nowhere near as prevalent as it is today. And we have no idea of knowing what it'll look like 10 years from now. So we wanted to keep that flexibility. So that created the Leading Edge Technologies group within the contract in an attempt to evaluate a corporate commitment to staying in touch with what's happening out in the field and what government will be needing in the future. But first and foremost, we did not want to change the scope of aligning that with Federal Enterprise Architecture. We haven't touched that in the least. That will still be the overarching nature of the contract.
All right. And I'm sure you've got this question internally. Were there any changes or contemplated changes in the wake? I know there was new clauses and that sort of stuff, potential and requirements for cyber in the wake of the OPM breach. Have you had conversations about that?
We have. So initially, right now, in the Alliant 2 solicitation, we have a cyber risk management plan. There was a great deal of discussion on how we were going to implement that. Was that going to be a requirement? Was that going to be an ongoing reporting element? And when we went to you originally to the coalition, that's the way we were thinking.
Sure.
Industry told us that would be very difficult to do because of the nature of and the velocity of change. We listened, so we went to a cyber risk management plan. Same thing with sustainability. There's a great deal of discussion about sustainability within contracts, even at the master contract level. So we tipped our hat to that requirement by putting in a sustainability clause. As we're speaking today, that's evolving given the nature of and the risk that we've all seen and the breaches that we've all seen. And the current legislation, we may have to take another look at the cyber risk management plan and maybe add some additional language. But I think we've come to the conclusion to let the specifics of the plan and the reporting and all of that flow down to the task order.
So it would be done at the task based on that, unique requirements? I mean, there's an umbrella piece.
Some umbrella guidance, and then let the OCO, who really controls this, and the requiring agency who really control the task orders, define the specifics. You know, we can get into all the technical, you know, the FIPS and all that. We're not going to do that. But let them deal with all of that with our guidance. We have a great track record in this organization because of leadership allowing us to and having value adds. When they have questions, they call us and we put together the people within GSA, the cyber people or the cloud people, and offer counsel and become a trusted advisor. So that will continue.
Right. And John, we're the second draft and what you're looking at is still the idea of the high technical, fair and reasonable pricing sort of award methodology?
Yes, and at this point, we're going to stick with that, absolutely.
Okay, and do you have, I know this is a question you get all the time, are you targeting a certain number of awards? I think, didn't the first draft have that number? And I have to confess, things have been so crazy, I haven't had a chance to look at the current
draft. I'm happy to
But trust me,
you.
I will be looking at the second draft.
Oh, we know that, Roger.
Well, we trust you, Roger.
I'm sure. What does Richard say? There's only three of us and there's thousands of you.
Right, exactly. Sure.
Yes, the original draft set a number of 40 awardees plus ties for the unrestricted and 80 plus ties for the set aside. Now, what we did is we based on the all the feedback we received, and based on the conversations that the program office, which is Casey, and the acquisition office had, we decided to raise that by 50% on the unrestricted, keeping. Okay. We're going to keep the set aside.
I can't do my math. That's 60 then.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Very good.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
Yes, okay. 60.
And the small business fee
is 80.
Is
80.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. And what is sort of the timeline moving forward, to the extent you can talk about it at this point? I mean, I'm not going to ask you to. Well, I am sort of asking you.
All right.
But what can you say? You know, the comment period on the draft closes November 30th.
Right.
So.
Right. So originally we were going to give 30 days. We're giving six weeks for comments at this time. Part of it is the holidays are coming up, and we know there isn't all that much that happens during the holidays, at least not for government.
Right.
So
don't say that too loudly. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. That's the world. That is in the world. Not a lot happens, right? You know, some companies, right? They shut down, right?
Europe.
You know,
that's very true.
Yeah,
that
during the true. Christmas season, right? For the week between or whatever, right?
Right. Right.
So,
well, in the meanwhile, we're not going to sit.
I'm
around.
Giving you cover.
No, thank you, Roger. Yeah.
Well, you gave me an excuse for not working over the holidays. So right. Thank you, Roger.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not going to wait around for all the comments. Typically, we get most of the comments within the first two or three weeks.
Right.
So we'll start reviewing them. We'll track them. We'll review them, and we will deliberate some of those issues that are of interest to us, and fine tune the draft that we have right now based on comments received. Actually, we don't expect anything to come up that will. Do anything more than fine tune the draft, but I'm not going to make a hard prediction
Sure.
And at that point, we have to go through our internal bureaucracy, which is is anyone listening here?
Yeah, right.
and you said it, not me.
No,
yes. We need 1,000 approvals right up to the OMB. And
that's a good point, though. As a GWAC, you have to have that executive agent designation for this contract. And that's a big deal, too.
It is a big deal.
It is. And once all that is in order, Greg Bird in Kansas City and I in San Diego will issue the official RFP. And we're aiming for spring.
That's a Jim. I love that guy. It's like Jim said, we're going to do it in the summer, right? It's very. It's, you know, I get it.
Right? I got that tip from Jim, by the way.
Okay. So, and you know what? We're already at the end of the show. So, I want to thank my guest today, Casey Kelly, who is the program director for the Alliant 2 procurement program, John Cavadillas, the contracting officer, and Richard Blake, the senior technologist, for joining me today on Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.